Sometimes we have visitors. I don't have a message to share, but I'm just going to tell you boldly, I have a message to share. You know, so I am going to share it with you today. And if you would, we're still in the Gospel of Luke, so go ahead and find your way there. Anybody need a Bible this morning? Anybody at all? Are we all set? Wow, got people who are well prepared today. Good. We're going to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to chapter 4. If you want to find your way there. Can you tell that I'm excited about it? I hope you can, because I am. If not, I'll work on being excited more. Last week, we got into the first 13 verses of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and we talked about that incredible moment, that incredible scene, when the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days, and he had nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and he was tempted by the devil. And we talked last week about each of those temptations. We talked about how he countered those temptations, ultimately how he had victory in those temptations. But we also mentioned at the end of it that, you know, guess what? Satan only left him until an opportune time. Okay? The battle never ends, friend. As long as we're breathing and our hearts are beating, the battle's always on. Okay? Now, there will come a day. And we all, I'm sure we're all looking forward to it. In fact, Debbie was sharing with me this morning that she's looking forward to that moment. And she can know right now that Jesus is waiting for her, ready to take her home. And that's true for all of us, okay? For all of us who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, that's the truth. But while you're here, the battle's on, friend, okay? And Satan's constantly looking for that soft spot in your life, that place to go at you, to come after you in life. But we got down to verse 13, actually verse 14. And as we got there, I realized something. I realized that the next 15 chapters of the Gospel of Luke is going to tell us the story of the greatest ministry the world has ever known. Okay, it's entitled in my Bible, The Public Ministry of Christ. But it's going to tell us in 15 chapters about the greatest preacher, about the greatest teacher, about the greatest prophet, the greatest leader, the greatest evangelist, the greatest mentor, and aren't you grateful, the greatest friend that the world will ever know. We're going to see all those things. But I realized something when I read chapter 4, or that verse 14 even. Before I got any further than that, I realized that there's something we need to talk about for just a moment. We're going to do that today. Okay, something that's very foundational to each of us. It was foundational to Jesus, something that was central to his ministry, something that was necessary for his ministry. And can I tell you, it's foundational for us, it's necessary for us, it's central for us. And what I'd like to share with you today is about the presence and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And believe it or not, you've already seen it. We've already read it. We've already shared it. And verse 14 is going to conclude this thought. But we're going to track back just a little bit today. And I don't usually do this. But we're only going to cover one verse today. Just verse 14. Now you might say, one verse. Oh my goodness. That's going to put us off track. And I did some math. And don't worry. If we cover one verse every week in 600 years, we'll be done with the Bible. Okay? So you got nothing to fear. All right, but we're just going to talk about one verse. We're going to go back and talk about one that we've already previously read. But that foundational thing, the purpose and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that central idea, that central necessary part of our faith, what I'd like you to do is look back just a few verses to verse number 1 in chapter 4. And really, I just want you to look at the first half of verse number 1 in chapter 4. What does it say there? It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. He had just been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and now he had stepped out. And the very first way that he's described to us, following his temptation, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Filled. He was filled with the Spirit of God. Can I tell you something? Our original design, how you and I were meant to be, when God had that original design for you, you were designed to be Spirit-filled. You were designed. That's the way you were made, friend. Now, you might go your entire life and never know that, but know this, that if you were to pull up the specs on you, okay, and open up the diagram that shows how you work, at the center part of you is the Holy Spirit. You were built to be filled. In fact, think about Adam. Think about Adam in the garden. Adam was a Spirit-filled man. He was connected with God. He knew God. And I don't mean new God like, oh yeah, God, I know about Jesus. I know of Jesus. You know, I heard something, somebody told me about Jesus. I know something. No, I'm not talking about that kind of new. I'm talking about he knew God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He was never separate from God. He knew Him in an experiential... Is that a right word? Something of that nature. He knew Him through experiencing Him. He knew who God was. But unfortunately, what happened? Sin came into the world, right? Through the choice of our parents, time and time past. Sin entered into the world, and when sin entered into the world, Adam went from being a spirit-filled man to being what we see in the world today, which is essentially a natural man, a fallen man. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us concerning that man. It says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." You see, when Adam fell, Adam went from having perfect understanding of who God was to all of a sudden, not just was he physically separated from God, but he also his understanding and his ability to discern God had changed. It had been diminished. He didn't get God anymore. There was something off there. All of a sudden, it had been darkened, his understanding. And he didn't quite get it. And we see why there, because the natural man can't get it. He doesn't have the ability to get it. It requires the Spirit. So what does Jesus respond to that? In the face of each of us being born a natural man or a natural woman? I mean, as beautiful as babies are, do you know that each of us, when we were born, guess what? Spiritually, we're dead. We're dead. But there's an answer to that, right? Jesus said in John 3:3-6, Nicodemus, he sneaks over to Jesus because he doesn't really want anybody to know he's talking to Jesus. And he sneaks over to Jesus and he says, "Listen, I know you're from God, but I just don't know how to put all this stuff together. You know, I'm not sure what you're trying to get at here." And Jesus gives him the answer to this natural man problem that we have. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he can never enter the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to them, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old?" He's that natural man. He's thinking with this piece of gray matter up here. He's not getting it. So Jesus has to clarify. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that's flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, that's spirit." How do you move from being a natural man or a natural woman to a spirit-filled man? You got to be born again. You got to be born again because you just don't have it by yourself. You got to be born of the Spirit. Same verse, Luke 4, verse 1, second point. The first point, though, what was necessary, what was essential to Jesus' ministry? To be full of the Holy Spirit. The second half of the same verse says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was what? He was led. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We must not only be filled with the Holy Spirit or full of the Holy Spirit, we must be led by the Spirit. Now you might say to yourself, well, is that really that important? I mean, I got a pretty good agenda set up. You know, I got a pretty good routine. I come to church every week. You know, I got all that covered. Got my check mark list. I'm good. Well, friend, the problem is Romans 8:14, Paul says to us, for all of you who are being led by the Spirit of God, for all of you who are being led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. Now, because that's true, guess what also is true? You made a profession of faith sometime long ago in the past. You remember the day. Okay, that's great. But then you walked from that moment on for the rest of your life down your own path, doing it your own way. Can I tell you something? Romans 8:14 tells me that you are not a son of God. You say, "Oh, Tim, you can't say that." I didn't. The Bible does. Okay? It says that for all who are being led by the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that at times you don't stumble. Hey, friend, every day I have a choice to make, and sometimes I make the wrong choice. But if I spent every day of my life walking down my own path, I have no right calling myself a son of God. Because it is those who are led by the Spirit, those are called the sons and the daughters of God. I know that's a difficult truth, and maybe it's too early in the morning to hear it. Tough. You need to hear it, okay? What does being led by the Spirit look like? It means that you're sensitive to the Spirit. It means that you know He's there. You realize, you discern that He's with you. Okay? You're walking with Him. You're listening to Him. You're looking for moments to follow Him. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yes? Some of you are sitting there going, no, I'm not really sure what you're talking about there. And that's okay. Listen, I get it. I get it. Okay? But what I'm saying to you today is you're here because God wants you to know that it's time for your heart to become sensitive to what He's trying to tell you. Okay? He's talking to you all the time. But some of us, the volume of life, we've turned it up so loud that we don't hear. You got to listen. Maybe that means getting quiet. Maybe that means getting in the Word, but you got to listen. Be sensitive to what the Spirit is telling you. Be listening for what He wants you to do, for what He wants you to say. Can I tell you this? As you're led by the Spirit, don't be surprised, though, if the Spirit leads you into a place of conflict. You're saying, oh, I'm walking with God. Everything's going to be just peachy keen, right? It's going to be beautiful. Straight pass and everything's wonderful. No. The Spirit will intentionally, you didn't mess up, the Spirit will intentionally lead you into conflict. That doesn't sound like God. Well, it says in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit. Where? To that happy place? No. He was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. The Spirit intentionally led him into conflict. Now, we don't like conflict. Naturally, we're not a people that enjoy conflict. So why? Why would He do that? Oh, you guys don't know. I don't know. No, no. Why would He do that? It's because conflict exposes our heart. It's because when the push comes to shove, that's when you really see what Joe's all made of. When push comes to shove, I know who Chris really is. Through that moment of conflict, through that time, that hard place, it exposes us. You know, you may not know it, but you got some issues in your heart, friend. Issues with trust. Let me ask you something. Do you only trust God when you understand what He's doing? Because if we're honest, most of us say, yeah, that's about when I trust God. That's when I get it. He's got my full attention. Yep, I trust You, Lord. Because I know what You're doing. That's a trust issue. Because that's not what we're called to do. Instead, we should trust God despite what you see. The situation looks terrible. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to trust God. And I tell you what, that's a great place to grow. That's a great place to be. But if you only trust God when you know what's coming next, when you know what's behind the door, that's not really trust. God wants to grow you. Some of us have trust issues. Some of us have issues with love. I'm not just talking to the guys. You girls got it too. You got issues with love. Do you find yourself only loving God when that certain need is met? Sometimes. I'm not asking for the church answer. I'm asking for the real answer. Yes, you do. We all struggle with that. When God doesn't come through the way that we thought He should come through, guess what? The way our hearts are built, we go, well, then I'm just not going to love You anymore. We do that. But God wants to take you into that conflict because He wants you to love Him He wants you to love Him more than the provision that He has for you. That's not easy to say. He wants you to love Him more than the provision that He has for you. As much as you think that is love, He wants you to know, no, no, no. I love you. That's the way He loves you. It doesn't matter what Jerry does for God. Jerry, God just loves you. And that's the kind of love He's trying to teach you. Betty, it doesn't matter what you do for God or what you don't do. He just loves you. And that's the kind of love He's trying to teach you. He's trying to teach all of us because we got issues with love. Our love is hinged on all sorts of things, conditional, all over the place. But God says, hey, I just love you. Period. I love you. So He takes us into conflict because even when you fail in conflict, here's the encouraging part. Even when you fail, when you miss the boat, when you strike out, you still grow a little bit. you still grow. And the next time when you're in that conflict, you're going to grow a little bit more. God is patient with us, and you still grow. So we need to be filled, according to verse 1. We need to be led, according to verse 1. Now here's your new verse for the day. Verse 14. You ready for it? Chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "And Jesus then, he returned to Galilee," immediately following the temptation. "He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And the news about him, it spread throughout all the surrounding district." Jesus returned basically, essentially, to his home area. And it says he returned how? In power. Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you this last week, I think, but I'll remind you. You know it is impossible for you to accomplish God's plan for your life without the power of God in your life. Amen. Impossible. You might think you got it figured out. You'll miss the boat. You'll come up short. It's impossible. Without God in you, you will never be able to accomplish what He has for you. You need to be empowered. That's not just the Son of God. We are the children of God. And just like Jesus, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I mean, everybody in this room, you're here because ministry is important to you. And you say, "Oh, I'm never going to stand behind a pulpit." I get that. But you're going to go to your workplace, to your home, to Walmart, to Winn-Dixie. You're going to go to all those places and you're going to have the opportunity to minister. You're here because it's important to you. You want your ministry to be valid. There's nothing more sad, I think, than to talk to Christians who have been Christians for 50 years and have never done the first thing for the Lord. Never shared their faith with anybody. You're not here because of that. You're here because you want to. I know you. I know you. You are. But to do it, you need the power of God. You need to be empowered by His Holy Spirit. Because He's not just about saving you from your sin. He's about empowering you for His purpose. That's where we find purpose in life. When we're doing what He's made us to do. Because He made Tim in a certain particular way. And there's a lot of things Tim can't do. A whole lot of things Tim can't. I can't hardly think of anything I can do. There's all sorts of things Tim can't do. But the few things that God did make me for, the way He fashioned me, man, I want to be good at those things. And for me to really be successful at those things, I need the power of God in my life. You do too. Say, "Tim, I'm not real sold out on this whole Holy Spirit thing." Okay. I'm going to run with you real quick through the Word. So I want you to follow with me because I think this is an important thing for you to maybe make notes on. But it's John chapter 20. And you're going to go to verse 21. Jesus has faced the cross. He's risen from the grave. And He shows up to the disciples. And they're not really sure what's going on. They're still kind of out in left field. And He shows up to the disciples. And this is a key moment in all the Scripture for these men here. It says in verse 21, it says, "So Jesus said to them again," speaking to these men that had followed Him, that had given up life to chase after Him. For the last 3 years, they were dedicated to Jesus. But right here, watch what happens. "Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Now watch this. "And when He has said this, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" You know why that's such an important moment? Because that's where they got saved. That's where it all happened. All the story up to that point, they didn't quite get it yet. And then Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. Now you say, "That's what I'm talking about, Tim. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah." But can I tell you, that's not the end of the story. Because they got saved. They got their ticket. They're in. But what happens in this? I mean, look at what He said. He gave them peace. He gave them the plan. But He's about to tell them, "But you can't really do the plan yet. There's still something missing. You need something else." to see that something else, you just got to turn the page. I told you, this is all one story, right? John 20. Turn the page, like about two, three pages for most of you. Go over to Acts chapter 1. Might only be one page for you. They had the peace. They had the plan. They received the Holy Spirit. They were saved men. But they didn't yet have the power to accomplish the plan. Because it tells us in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Gathering them together then, Jesus speaking to them again, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. I've given you the plan. I know you're excited to get out there, but you can't do it yet. Wait. Wait for what the Father has promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For when John baptized with water, he baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In fact, it would be about 10 days later. Not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, when is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom? I mean, they knew the plan of God. They knew what was coming. They were excited about it. Lord, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Tell me, please. And he says, listen, I've given you the plan, but you don't yet have the power to see it through. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But, here it is, they've already received the Holy Spirit. They've already been saved. Happened a page ago. It's already happened. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even into the remotest parts of the world. They had the plan, but they couldn't pull the plan off without the power of God. Friend, you need the Holy Spirit. Jesus, our example, our King, our Lord, the one that each of us look to, by whose name we are called as Christians. Guess what Jesus needed? He needed the Holy Spirit. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Holy Spirit, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, can I give you the really awesome news? I mean, this one, if you've not already blown away, and I hope that you're kind of starting to get that way, here it is. Hold on to your seats. The same Holy Spirit that filled, led, and empowered the Son of God is here right now. Amen. He is ready to fill, lead, and empower every single person that asks for it. That's an amazing thing. God hasn't changed. 2,000 years later, and he's not tired of it. He's ready. It's an awesome, awesome thing. I want you to share how awesome that is today in your groups. Because I think the men in this church that are leading your groups, God has called them to minister this truth to you as well. So, and guys, I know it's going to be a little crazy here for just a moment. Where you're sitting, that is your group. Okay? The men, I spoke to you a little bit earlier. You're called to lead those groups. Remember, we're not reteaching. We're finding out what is it that God is speaking to you today. What is it that God has placed in front of you? What are you going to pick up with you today? And you're going to walk out those doors with it and say, I got it, friend. I got it, and I ain't letting go. It's an exciting thing. Okay? So this is your time. This is your time to allow those things to come forth. Because when you speak what God is doing in your life and the truth that he's sharing with you in your life, the enemy will tremble. The enemy is going to get out of your way because that's powerful stuff. Okay? And believe it or not, the person sitting right next to you, they need to hear what God's doing in your life and what it is that God is changing and working in your life today. Okay? So I know I got Reed or Ted, one of you here. Can the other one step over to this group? Ron back in the back. I've got Ron here, JW, Neil. All right, and I will take our family from Real Life Children's Ranch. Guys, you got about 5 minutes. I'll give you a few minutes more if you need it. When you hear the music turn on, that'll be time to start to wrap up, and we'll finish up together in prayer. Okay?